Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Monday, August 17th, 2015. Here are our top stories.
Tonight, the police state goes worldwide as cops in Spain hand out big fines for taking photographs. Then, Germans use a standard household item to fight their surveillance grid. And Hillary's emails drudge up memories of Watergate.
There's a way to go back to who originated these emails or who received them from Hillary Clinton. So you've got a massive amount of data. It, in a way, reminds me of the Nixon tapes.
That's next.
But you got to admit, it's a great con game. It's a great confidence game by Hillary and all the rest of her types. That they are the men now. And they dress like men, they talk like men, they've taught men to be subservient, act like little boys. I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off super detox special at InfoWarsLife.com.
Inquisition. Our chief weapon is surprise. Surprise and fear. Fear and surprise are two weapons. Our fear and surprise and ruthless efficiency are three weapons. Our fear and surprise and ruthless efficiency and an almost fanatical devotion to the Pope are four. No. Amongst our weapons. Amongst our weaponry are such elements as fear. I'll come in again.
And to fear, surprise, and ruthless efficiency, you can now add censorship, fines, and total surveillance. Of course, Alex Jones and Rob Dew were in Spain just a couple of weeks ago. As they were filming footage of public areas, they were given a stern talking to by the police there. They had their footage erased because there's a new censorship law in Spain. One lady has been fined now, the first person to get a large fine, 800 euros. That's $900 of a fine. Here's Rob Dew breaking this down and some of the footage that you have not seen because they couldn't show this while they were in country.
So earlier I got video of a cop on a four-wheeler messing with the driver of this car. And just now a little small police car showed up. And you can see him over my shoulder right there driving off. And the cop gets out and literally opens the guy's back door right there. You can see it still kind of open. He opens the back door and looks in. And the guy's inside. I guess he's fixing something. I think he's fixing the elevator. But it's just funny the way they act. And the other guy was sitting in there on his cell phone. So that is the police presence here in Spain. Total oppression. Rob Dew, InfoWars.com.
Absolutely. And if we go back and look at that article from RT, Spanish woman fined 800 euros for a photo of a police car in a disabled bay. That would be handicap parking in the United States. And that would be about a $900 fine. They say this was a police car that was parked in handicap parking. She posted a picture of it on Facebook and said, park wherever you please and you won't even be fined. Well, it turns out she will be fined for posting that picture. And that's what they did. They tracked her down within 48 hours. If you look at that picture that's up at the top of that article, Censuria es tyrannia. I don't speak Spanish, but I think I understand that means censorship is tyranny. And that's precisely what we're looking at. This is something that is rolling out globally. It is global tyranny. It is total surveillance. and it is controlling everything we see and do. Now, this is the law in Spain, Spain's citizens' security law, the citizens' security. They use the same techniques they use here, saying that this is a Patriot Act when it is the most unpatriotic thing ever, saying that it's the USA Freedom Act when they take our freedoms. And here they're saying this is for the citizens' security. No, it's not. They say the unauthorized use of images of police officers that might jeopardize their or their family's safety or that of protected facilities or police operations is prohibited, and the fines can go up to 30,000 euros. So they gave it to her a little bit ahead of the minimum of 600 euros. They say that they had to arrive and park in that area because they had to get to a case of vandalism very quickly. Perhaps that's true. Perhaps it isn't. Nevertheless, you should not be fined for criticizing or questioning the authorities. That is a Spanish Inquisition. We see that happening here as well in this country. Take a look at what's happening in Germany. People there are upset about their surveillance state there. Some are microwaving their ID cards in order to stifle the surveillance state. They say that in this article we have on Infowars.com, Americans have become quite complacent, and that's true. We're getting used to it. They've moved the Overton window, but Germans are still resisting somewhat. They say, and of course, it's very understandable. They've lived under the Nazis. They've seen what happened in East Germany under the Stasi surveillance state. They have a understanding of where this all leads. And we've had William Binney on our program many times talking about how he spent his career watching, surveilling these authoritarian, totalitarian states. He knows precisely where these kind of policies lead. Well, in Germany, they have ID cards, and the Germans don't like the idea that they're being spied on. So some people have been putting up YouTube videos talking about how you can destroy the surveillance capabilities of these cards by microwaving them. Well, they just had this week a 29-year-old man who was arrested at the Frankfurt airport after it was discovered that he had microwaved his ID card to destroy the microchip. According to German law, they say ID cards are government property and cannot be destroyed. See, you are government property, not the ID cards. Understand, you are the person who is the property of the government. Just as we talk about gun control or any of these other aspects, they're really about people control. And when they give you an ID card, make that a condition of getting a job, of moving around. And we're going to be talking about the solutions that are being floated about immigration control, and that is something that is going to lead us to living in a kind of West Bank existence that we've not seen in this country that we do not want to see. We need to shut these ideas down first. But they point out that the man is not alone. There's been many videos showing this. They say 39% of German adults are fearful of the future of digital technologies. That's surprisingly low considering their recent history. And of course, they point out that Snowden's leaks have had a lot to do with their concerns. But of course, we have a presidential candidate who says that Donald Trump says that Snowden is a total traitor. Well, you know who is a total traitor? Hillary Clinton. We now see that there are 305 documents with potential classified information. This report from the Washington Times says that more than 300 of her emails that they've looked at, which is 5.1% of those processed so far, have been flagged for potential secret information. They say that the reviewers have so far only screened 20% of the 30,000 emails, so that means that there could possibly, if this rate holds up, there could be more than 1,500 messages that will have to be sent to intelligence community agencies known in the government as IC in order to screen the classified information. These messages have been redacted as being classified, and of course, they're being made public. It's a very complicated situation, but they're being made public because it's not only questions about security, but it's also a FOIA request that they're trying to get them to comply with. Judge Sullivan, who is taking a look at this, has set, they say, a strict schedule for the State Department to meet in releasing the emails on a monthly basis. The department, however, has missed the July target of by more than 1,000 pages of emails. Washington Times also reports that when the State Department officials first discovered Clinton's personal email accounts contained classified information, they did not seize her thumb drive, but they rather provided her a safe to keep that thumb drive in. That allowed the attorney to manipulate things, and they are concerned that there are employees within the State Department, or as they call it, Foggy Bottom, not to be confused with the Soggy Bottom boys of Brother, Where Art Thou. They say some career employees at Soggy Bottom have now alerted the intelligence community to irregularities that they fear may hide from the public the true extent of classified information that passed through Clinton's personal account. These concerns that the employees that are at the State Department who are blowing the whistle on this say that they're concerned that one or more State Department attorneys involved in the production of her emails to Congress and the federal court have ties to her private attorney's firm, creating at least, they say, the perception of conflict of interest. No, really, the perception of conflict of interest. Of course, there's a conflict of interest in this. Bob Woodward is pointing this out. He strongly attacked Clinton, and this may be signs that the establishment is ready to finally throw her under the bus. Bob Woodward of the Watergate reporter's fame compared the email controversy engulfing presidential candidate Hillary Clinton to the downfall of President Richard Nixon. This is the Washington Examiner pointing this out. He says, follow the trail. This is what Bob Woodward said. He said, these are all emails. Well, they were sent to someone or someone sent them to her. So if things have been erased here, there's a way to go back to these emails or whoever received them from Hillary Clinton. So you've got a massive amount of data. In a way, it reminds me of the Nixon tapes, thousands of hours of secretly recorded conversations that Nixon thought were exclusively his. And he goes on to say, it's extraordinary. Again, it's the volume, 60,000 emails, and Hillary Clinton has said that 30,000 of them, half, were personal. So she deleted them. Who made that decision, he says? Well, of course, she did. He says, what's on those emails? I would love to have all those 60,000 emails and read them. It would be a character study about her personal life and also what she did as Secretary of State. Step back for a moment. The big question about Hillary Clinton is, who is she? Is she the secretive hidden person, or is she this valiant public service? Look at those 60,000 emails. You're going to get some answers. Here's the real issue. Why would she even have her own personal email server? And why would she be putting any classified documents? And as we saw last week, some of those classified documents were things that were intercepted intelligence from satellite images, things that came from the NSA. They were highly classified. They were not only not top secret, they were above top secret. This is something that we see happening over and over again, where the elites tell us that they have to know everything about us, but we are not allowed to know anything about them. They have to destroy the Constitution. They have to destroy our individual rights, all in the name of national security. And yet when Hillary Clinton violates national security protocol, when she puts these emails on a secure, on an unsecured server, opening them up for espionage, because of course there's going to be every country in the world is going to be trying to intercept the emails of the Secretary of State. When she does that, she is given a pass. This is precisely what is wrong with the surveillance state. The fact that they need to know everything about us, we're not allowed to know anything about them. It invites corruption. Here's what else invites corruption. Again, going back to Europe again, the TTIP, people are getting concerned about that because it's getting the same treatment as the TPP does here. Of course, the TTIP is the European version, the transatlantic partnership that will join Europe to the United States in a quote-unquote free trade agreement. It is far more than that, as we've pointed out many times. The TPP is the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That is the agreement that would tie the United States to Asia, to the Pacific Trade Agreement. Now, of course, in the United States, we are not allowed to see these agreements. And now the same thing is happening with the TTIP in Europe. And people are having something to say about this. This is from The Independent, a European paper. They say the European Commission is making the secret transatlantic trade and investment partnership trade deal even more secret. They've introduced a new rule that means that politicians can only view the text in a secure reading room in Brussels. Does that sound familiar? Yes, it is a global conspiracy to hide things from us, to do things that they do not have legitimate authority to do. We see the same things happening with these trade agreements. Everywhere across the world, we see the same things happening with taking away people's informed consent with vaccines. Let's go on and read what they're saying about this. Of course, this is a change of policy that took place on July 24th. They say that with this being submitted to national parliaments, hundreds of people can now have actually uncontrolled access. Well, see, everyone should be able to see this. This is something that should be a matter of public record. This is something that our elected representatives should be able to see and should be able to discuss with the people, because this is something that affects all of us. But when they talk about these trade agreements, They talk about us as not being someone who is vested in this. We are not someone that is allowed to see this because we are not invested in this whole process. Now, here's what Robert Smith said on NPR, talking about what happens in the United States, similar to this. He said, in Washington, D.C., they love secrecy. But even by Washington standards, this amazed me. In the basement of the U.S. Capitol, he said, there is a room, a locked, soundproof room, and the only people allowed in this room are U.S. senators. And they can't bring their assistants, they can't bring their phones, they can't even take notes in there. Inside this room is not the codes for our nuclear weapons. It's not the CIA's files. It's not the documents that tell us that an alien landed in Roswell. No, this room is the text of a trade deal. Well, yes, it may not be the nuclear codes. It may not be the CIA files. It may not be the UFO files, but it is something that is far more important than a trade deal. This is something that one of the few senators who's bothered to read it, Senator Sessions, has told us. This is about creating a transnational governance. This is going to create a transnational commission. This is going to be a living document. They will be able to add China and other countries. And, of course, I mentioned China because they're using China as a foil to push for the passage of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. But then once they get it passed, they can add China to it. They can add any country to it. They can change any aspect of this. And it goes far beyond any trade deal. It affects our copyrights. It affects patents on medicines. It affects a vast array of our economy. But this is about global consolidation. And that is why it is more closely guarded than the nuclear codes and the CIA files and the UFO files. It's because this is the blueprint. This is the pattern. This is the implementation of worldwide government. We've seen this from the Trilateral Commission that was put up by Brzezinski, talking about how they were going to have an Asian, a European, and a North American focus. We now see those three blocks being consolidated through these so-called trade agreements, and it is all kept secret because you are not a stakeholder. See, that's the word that they use. We don't have a stake in this as citizens. Our elected representatives don't have a stake in this. And this is something that's going to be coming down the pike. There will be no opportunity for any amendments to this. It will be a quick up and down vote. There will be no way to block it. There will be no way to amend it. Well, stay with us, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about another method of control, and that is the control of our transportation. There's been some moves on that. Speculation about an Apple car. We're going to give you some interesting insights into that. Why is the military involved in this testing? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for.
And that's the principle of InfoWars life, as far as I understand, that you've always had, is that it's not about synthetic chemicals and forcing actions. It's about letting your body do its own thing and giving your body the tools it needs to create these different compounds that are super valuable and super beneficial.
You will find Brain Force and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. I wanted to bring Weldon Henson in here briefly because we have a great sponsor. Boy, I've sure been enjoying the firearms that I've gotten from them. HDfirearms.com. That's Head Down Firearms. They have super high quality 223s, 308, you name it. It's called 556, technically, in the 223, that are guns that would be $3,000 or $1,500. Guns that would be $1,500 or $900.
Well, the important thing to remember is that if you're not in the market to buy a brand new rifle, you have an AR-15, you have an AR-10 platform 308 rifle. They've got everything you need to upgrade it. Buy a new part, buy a new trigger, buy a new muzzle brake, buy a new handrail. It's all an upgrade for your rifle because these are all superior top-of-the-line quality products made in America.
tell folks about their low profile series.
Well, this is an important thing to have. This is untraceable. Anybody can get this kit right here. You don't have to go through a federal firearms license place. You can have it shipped right to your house.
This is what the traders have been trying to shut down.
Absolutely. So you basically have everything you need besides a lower receiver, because that's what's traceable, that's what's serialized, and that's what the federal government's after. But you can get this right here. Get your own lower receiver any way you want. There's different programs. All you got to do is your own research, and you can find out how to get a lower receiver so that you can put it on this. Maybe you already have a lower receiver from an AR from way back that you just don't quite use anymore. It's old, something like that. You can throw it on this. You basically have a brand new rifle, and you saved money by putting it together yourself and buying this kit right here, which is cheaper than the actual rifle.
And they've got the highest quality barrels, the highest quality triggers. We're not just saying that. Go look at the third-party reviews. Tell them about the new rifle they're producing that's getting amazing reviews. And then I just got one, this 308.
Yes, that is very...
Arcadius.
Arcadius. That's very exciting. They just came out with their own line of AR-10 platforms, which is basically an AR-15, but instead of it being a 5.56, it shoots a 308 round, which I know you personally like shooting a 308.
I like them both. And, I mean, just to be clear, they've always, for years, been making this for the big manufacturers, the high-end. They're just now not private labeling. They're putting out their own guns.
Yes. Well, the one they sent you, I'm actually jealous of, is a beautiful gun. It's set up and configured for long-range shooting, marksmanship-type things.
Just the scope alone is something to snuggle with.
Yeah, it's a Vortex 4x16 scope, which you can get a head down as well, their distributor. And I think things for people to remember is that if you want a 308, you don't have to get the 18-inch barrel. You don't have to get the 22-inch barrel. You don't have to get it set up for marksmanship. You can get one with a 16-inch barrel that's set up for more of an assault weapon type, you know, configuration. So anything you want, people, just call head down. You can get anything you want made there and any configuration you might want on your rifle. They're able to do that, and they have 100% perfect customer service ratings there.
Bottom line, it's not just firearms, a ton of accessories, very affordable, and it supports the InfoWar. If you're not shopping at HDFirearms.com, you're not helping the InfoWar. I mean, this is a win-win. Thank you all for your support. Check them out today. Thank you, Weldon.
Now, over the weekend, the Drudge Report carried a series of articles about a possible new development in Apple's self-driving cars. Now, a lot of people are interested in what the new products from Apple are going to be, but we're looking at this not because of that, but because of government control of transportation. This is big business. It's big government, and it is big brother. It's something we should all be very concerned about. And when we look at this story that was broken by The Guardian, looking at emails going back and forth between Apple and a testing facility, I find it very alarming to see the involvement of the U.S. military in testing these. Of course, we remember that the Autobahn was created by Adolf Hitler as a way to move their military equipment very quickly from one place to the other within the country. Eisenhower had tried to move some military equipment in the Northeast, and he'd written a small book about how difficult it was and how we needed to improve that. So when he saw the Autobahn in Germany, he created the interstate system in the United States as president. Now, of course, we've enjoyed that as civilian freedom of movement. It's been a very freeing thing to have here, in spite of the fact that they use that to exert control of a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. There have been those types of things. But even Adolf Hitler, as he paraded around in a Volkswagen, the Volkswagen was a small, cheap car that made transportation more readily available to individuals. It was a freeing technology. I don't think that's going to be the case with self-driving cars. I don't think they're going to set up a separate lane for the automated cars and let them coexist with people in who are driving their own cars. And neither does Elon Musk or any other people who have talked about this. They say this is going to be eventually sooner than you think, the outlawing of human drivers. We're being told that the cars will be far safer than any human driver. Of course, they'll be programmed by humans. So we can take that with a grain of salt. Understand, this is going to be computer-driven. It will be government-controlled. It will be part of the total surveillance and control grids. Let's take a look at this story here. This is from The Guardian. They say documents confirm that Apple is building a self-driving car. They say they're scouting locations in the San Francisco Bay Area to test it. They're that far along with it. They say documents show the oft-rumored Apple car project appears to be further along than many suspected. They met secretly with officials from something called the Go Mentum Station. This is a 2,100-acre former naval base near San Francisco. And they intercepted emails. They said, we'd like to get an understanding of timing and availability for the space and how we would need to coordinate around other parties who would be using it. And the interesting thing about this, I think, too, is the Guardian's investigation shows that they're looking quite a bit at intercepted emails that they got back and forth between these two countries, companies. And, of course, as a German minister said just last week, the vast majority of surveillance that's going on is not impacting national security. No, it is about corporate espionage. That's why there's the close connection between the NSA, the surveillance state, and these corporations that are doing it. And that's why they're setting up CISA, which is the newest instantiation of CISPA. Going on with this, they say the base is closed to the public. Now, they say this is former Navy base, but understand it is still closed to the public, and it is still guarded by the military. Think about that. Think about that. This is like an AP Hill where they did asymmetric warfare, planning on fighting Americans in American cities and urban settings and another place that they have down at Camp Lejeune where it's a more suburban, more rural area. This is our government training to fight Americans. This is our government now, in this case, training to control our transportation. They say it is the largest secure test facility in the world. This is their own copy from Gomentum Station. For the testing, validation, and commercialization of connected vehicle applications and autonomous vehicle technologies to define the next generation of transportation network infrastructure. And they're building an infrastructure that is not going to allow you to have anywhere near the kind of freedom that you have now. They say Apple has hundreds of engineers that are quietly working on automotive technologies in an anonymous building in Sunnyvale that's just a small amount of distance from their main campus. And in these emails, they say, we would like to meet in order to keep everything moving and to meet your testing schedule. In May, an Apple senior vice president, Jeff Williams, called the car, quote, the ultimate mobile device. Now, there's a lot of people who believe that Apple is not going to be doing this anytime soon. Of course, there's an article from The Verge saying you won't be driving an Apple car anytime soon. One of the things that they point out is that it takes 5 years even for an automobile company to get something into production, even though they're experienced with it, even though they have an assembly line. But going back to this other article, they point out that the CEO of Apple has met with Fiat Chrysler boss. He has toured BMW's electric car assembly line in Germany. Understand that Apple doesn't make anything. Apple doesn't make their iPhone. They don't make their computers. They subcontract this out to people who are in the business of making those things. They don't manufacture it themselves. They subcontract it out. They design this, and then they subcontract it out. So if they're at the stage where they're already doing testing, this is something that is very far along. And Apple's involvement in this, I think, just underscores what big business this is, what a big potential this is. We see that Google is involved in this. We've seen Uber talking about how they were going to make private ownership of cars go away. And we've seen the mainstream press just within the last couple of weeks talk about how the autonomous self-driving taxi was going to save us from global warming. This is a full-on push from the government, from Wall Street, from the largest corporations that we have in this country. They talk about how Google, Tesla, Volkswagen, Mercedes, many other car makers are all involved in this. They have to file their applications with the California Department of Motor Vehicles. Apple does not want to do that. They want to keep this secret. And finally, this is one of the things that I thought was very interesting. The name of the place is the Contra Costa Transportation Authority. Almost sounds like something that the CIA would be involved in. And they point out that Honda has signed a $250,000 memorandum of understanding to use the facility for testing. They say that Tesla was looking at it, but listen to this account. They say, when engineers from Tesla Motors tried to tour the Gomentum station in April, armed soldiers at the base refused entry to foreign-born workers and a manager who would not divulge his social security number. And then there was an email that came back, and it said, at this point, I'll retract our interest in this test site until the process is worked out. That's what the manager said when he wrote the station, Gomentum Station's Jack Hall. It appears that The Guardian has intercepted emails on the side of Gomentum Station, so they're able to see these emails from Tesla, from Apple. Again, we see that the people at Tesla seem to be a bit more concerned about the negative consequences of technology. Here you got one of the managers who refused to give his social security number. Good for him. That's exactly what we need to see coming from people. Now, As many people are saying, they don't believe that we're going to be seeing a Apple car anytime soon. That's The Verge's take on it, because they don't believe that Apple has their production lines up. And as I just pointed out, I don't expect them to use production lines. But just as an aside, Apple could very easily get into this with their Liquid Metal Technologies alloys. This is something that is very unusual. If you haven't seen liquid metal, it is has very, very unusual properties. I know some engineers who have worked there, and they had told me a long time ago that Apple had gotten exclusive rights to use liquid metal for consumer goods. Now, they're talking about they have just entered their third amendment to this agreement to extend their capability to keep an exclusive right to use liquid metal. This is something that, among its unique properties, are its high strength, its corrosive resistance, its lightweight, and its malleability. This is a very unique substance that they're talking about here. And one of the things that would make this ideal for Apple would be that they would be able to do some very unusual looking vehicle bodies. They would be able to pour this and mold this like plastic. And yet it has metallic properties that far exceed many of the metal properties that we've seen in other metals. Now, moving on, as we look at foreign policy, we've now had some details emerge in an interview yesterday from Donald Trump. Understand that he's been running for president for quite some time, and there's very little on his website that actually talks about what he would do with policies. And we're going to talk about that in the next segment. He's put up his first issues statement, and that's about immigration. But on MSNBC, actually it was on NBC's Meet the Press, he was actually asked some questions about policy, not about his personal life. And what he had to say was very interesting. He advocates sending ground troops to fight the Islamic State. The question is it enough for a candidate to feel our pain? We need to ask, what would they do? What are their solutions? Do we want another president who is going to shed blood for oil? That is precisely what he is proposing to do. We have wounded warriors who have been taken advantage of. Why did we go to Iraq in the first place? We're not going to address that. Instead, he's proposing that we send ground troops to Iraq in order to take over the oil fields so that we can then give compensation to the troops. He's simply going to repeat the same problems. This is like rinse and repeat the mistakes of the Obama administration and the Bush administration. Stay with us when we come back. We're going to talk about immigration. We'll be right back.
Another major health threat. This one in Toledo, Ohio, where everybody in the entire city has been told not to drink the water.
Ohio's governor declaring a state of emergency.
Did you know that the average person uses about 80 to 100 gallons of water at home every single day? If there's a water emergency, will you be prepared?
Panicked residents forming long lines throughout the day.
We're here at a supermarket in Toledo. You can see the shelves empty where water once was.
To stay safe and healthy during a crisis, you must have access to safe, clean water. Water which will not be available at your local grocery store.
There's a mad dash on right now to stock up on supplies.
The ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system is a must-have for every modern, independently minded household. Protect your family's safety during an emergency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today to purchase your ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system or call 1-888-253-3139.
Hi, I'm Shane Steiner. A lot of you have been following my progress using Superman Vitality. The last 19 weeks has been an incredible experience. I was feeling a little down and lethargic during the holidays, and none of the supplements that I was taking were doing any good. That's when my longtime friend from high school, Alex Jones, introduced me to Superman Vitality. I was a little skeptical at first. Not only would I have the energy to work out and go to the gym, but it was actually the changes were happening to my body a lot more rapidly. My whole mood, my libido, everything had completely changed. The concentrated organic herbs, they stimulate your natural systems to produce the natural hormones that you need. I just really wanted to bulk up and hit it hard, and I went in for about the first 5 weeks and was lifting heavy weight and just really hitting it hard, and I gained 20 pounds of muscle immediately. Since that, I've decided I was going to lose some weight and slim down. I just changed up my workout a little bit, and 35 pounds came off. Folks, this is not a joke. This is not a gimmick. It's real. Super Male Vitality, available at InfoWarsLife.com.
Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Most forms of vitamin B12 are highly processed and synthetic and could not be properly absorbed by the body. That's why for real results, so many are having to turn to painful B12 injections, which are known to have higher absorption rates. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12, methylcobalamin, the same kind used in B12 injections, and adenosylcobalamin. Secret 12 is simply taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Discover the secret. Secret 12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. Our world is becoming more and more toxic each and every day. But it's not just the air outside that's toxic. Indoor air has been shown to have 2 to 5 times higher concentrations of pollutants than even outdoor air. And most Americans spend 90% of their time inside using toxic chemicals within their homes. There are more than 42 million smokers in the United States. Well over 1,000 types of mold and mildew linked to numerous conditions. And don't forget the fact that 6 million Americans live with pets they're allergic to as well. When I began to research these statistics, it was clear to me it was time to start cleansing my lungs in order to combat the toxic environment that we cannot escape, but that we can fight back against. Made with organic and wild cultivated herbs and manufactured in the USA, the new InfoWars Life Lung Cleanse is here in a convenient spray bottle that can be brought with you throughout any toxic environment. Now available exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com.
Can the federal government take credit for saving us from a plot of its own creation? The FBI has foiled about 17 plots to kill Americans during the past 10 years. They all have a common and reprehensible thread. They were planned, plotted, controlled, and carried out by the federal government itself.
Those were just brief examples how the United States government sometimes assists and completely manufactures terror attacks. Now, with that in mind, on our recent trip to Ferguson, Missouri, myself and Joe Biggs had a chance to meet a man who said that he had previously worked in law enforcement and had information about terror attacks that had been largely ignored. Now, he didn't have any physical evidence, but here's his story, and you can hear it for yourself.
My name's John Griggs. I'm 29 years old. I've been in law enforcement since the day I turned 21. I swore in Paducah, Kentucky, as a deputy, and I came to Missouri in 2012 after my home burned down and started a career here. I was the gang task force officer for the Missouri Department of Corrections, and I was assigned to Pacific, Missouri. And my job was to investigate, validate, and marginally disrupt organized crime within the institutions. In February of 2014, I came across several documents where an offender within the Missouri Department of Corrections was teaching others how to build improvised explosive devices. I'm not going to say everything about that for confidentiality purposes, but what I will say is that I was told to disregard a known terrorist. I did not. I contacted someone, and they led me to the St. Louis County Intelligence Unit, where I had handed over the instructions for the improvised explosive devices and an address book with 60 suspected names in it. I was told to give it back to the offender and leave it alone because my captain was not going to get sued by a Muslim. I did not. I lost my job. On June the 28th of 2014, I was attacked by two offenders carrying a 7-inch knife. One offender tried to grab me and put the knife right here in my side and kill me, right here in my ribs. I have the weapon. I recovered it. I took my handcuffs and I restrained the offenders. I used the least amount of force necessary. I was written up for excessive use of force. And I said I knew I'd be okay after the incident was over. I told my lieutenant I need to smoke a cigarette. I said, but I knew I'd be fine. during the debriefing for the use of force, my lieutenant then asked me, how did you know you'd be okay? And I said, because Jesus Christ walks with me. And I firmly believe that. I was immediately, they took my badge, they took my weapon, and they made me take a mental evaluation. For 1 month, I was on administrative leave for mentioning Christ Jesus. For 1 month. Then I was discharged. When I passed the mental evaluation I wasn't supposed to pass, I came back and I was fired, and I was criminally charged for theft of property by the Inspector General, and then it was immediately dismissed because St. Louis County Intelligence Unit had every document I handed over to them. I was discharged from my position, and I have not been able to hold a law enforcement commission since for stopping the terrorist attack.
We have a story on Infowars.com. Over the weekend, the Philly Tribune pointed out that the Philadelphia School District registers 800 students speaking 40 languages from 70 countries. How do we cope with totally open borders? We're going to have a report from John Bound coming up, and then we're going to take a look at the suggestions from Donald Trump. What would Donald do? And, of course, when we look at this, the massive amount of resources that are going to have to be used in the schools, that's going to have to be paid for by property taxes. Are we going to literally be driven from our homes in order to pay for the education of people coming to our country from all over the world without any control? There's also the issue of crimes. We see that Sheriff Joe has now been blocked from having any lawsuits about the Obama administration's immigration policies. They said that he doesn't have any standing. They don't think any of us have any standing. That's why so many people are so angry about immigration. Here's a report from John Bound, Amnesty for Mass Murders.
Republican presidential candidate John Kasich, who has flip-flopped on the hot potato issue of illegals immigrating into the U.S., sees a pot of gold at the end of the election rainbow by now catering to illegal voters. Kasich reportedly said to CNN, "The 12 million who are here, we ought to find out who they are. If they've been law-abiding over a period of time, they ought to be legalized and they ought to be able to stay here. There are people who contribute a lot to the U.S. Kasich must have missed the reason Trump is so popular in the polls. Americans are fed up with the slow transformation of their country into a third world. And when a lawmaker like Maryland Governor Larry Hogan puts into action a plan to create some kind of accountability for the tens of thousands of illegals with criminal records being released onto American streets, he is met with a horde of the now typical pro-illegal demonstrators who have zero respect for our country and our laws." The group titled Casa de Maryland said Larry Hogan's voluntary collaboration will lead to the deportation of parents, siblings, and neighbors while shredding community trust. As jails garner the reputation as locations around which ICE agents wait for release, family members will be too frightened to visit or retrieve their loved ones. Meanwhile, the hubris grows. A Dallas tree service owner that had already been raided by immigration authorities and warned not to continue to employ illegal aliens, turned around and did so through shell staffing companies. Apollos Davis Phillip now faces up to 6 months in prison because small business owners like himself believe that U.S. laws just don't apply, and that we should be thankful that they're doing the work Americans supposedly won't do. Besides, Americans are too busy standing in long lines at food banks that they have had to rely on since the Wall Street criminals deep-sixed the stock market back in 2008. Meanwhile, the rest of America, without blinders on, has to live in fear when they see stories like this. The brutal deaths of a grandmother and two teens in Florida earlier this week were pinned on an illegal alien who crossed the Texas-Mexico border. Police in Fort Myers arrested Bolivian national Brian Omar Hyde, 19, Tuesday, driving on the wrong side of the road with no license and blood on his clothes and body. The Lee County Sheriff's Office suspects Hyde of carrying out the extremely violent slayings of his cousin and roommate. Lieutenant Matt Sands described the grisly incident. "It was an extremely violent scene, even for us," Sands said. "All homicide scenes are normally violent, but this scene was what we considered unimaginable." According to the lieutenant, there were indications the victims died due to sharp force trauma, though no murder weapon was identified. According to Belize media outlets, Hyde and two other men were suspects in a double murder case back in October 2013. Hyde's uncle, Russell Hyde, is also reportedly a known criminal in Bolivia who is suspected of decapitating and dismembering two people in May. This is an example of the kind of illegal Kasich, Jeb Bush, and the Obama administration would have us all ignore. As if it's just one bad apple. Areas of New Mexico and Arizona are controlled by the drug cartels that deliver illegals to the U.S., where mass murder, execution-style slayings, sexual assaults, kidnappings, shootings, armed robberies, burglaries are all par for the course within the world of illegal immigration. As the Obama administration raises the flag over the U.S. Embassy in Havana for the first time in 54 years, the message is loud and clear to the rest of the world. Come plunder America. Our laws don't apply to you here. We will divide and bring the American people to their knees together. John Bound for Infowars.com.
Well, from the beginning of his campaign, Donald Trump has been talking about immigration, but he hasn't had any concrete proposals. He hasn't had any proposals about any issue, as a matter of fact, but he just put up the first issue, and that is immigration. This is what Donald Trump would do about immigration. First of all, he would make Mexico pay for the wall. Now, think about what's going on. If we're going to have Mexico pay for the wall, if we're going to triple the number of immigration and customs officers, are we going to create something that is essentially a prison here in the United States? Those walls, of course, can be used to keep us in. They're not going to be effective at keeping others out. We already have many reports of a vast tunneling system that is already in place. In the war on drugs, we have had people who are dying of overdoses in this country continually. You can't keep drugs out of prisons. You're not going to be able to keep people out of this country by force. We need to look at what is incentivizing them coming in, and that is our welfare state. We need to remove the incentives. I don't see that in here. I see him removing anchor babies. Stay with us when we come back. We're going to be talking about vaccines. It is not just a national conspiracy to take away our informed consent. It is international. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
In the past decade, we have witnessed unparalleled scientific discoveries in the area of health. But no one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. DNA Force is one of the most expensive formulas to produce. Some of the ingredients in DNA Force are $12,000 a kilogram. We are using the coveted, patented, only American source of PQQ, CoQ10, and more. You want the best that's out there at the lowest price anywhere? Well, we're bringing you a total win-win. The ultimate value, cutting-edge, trailblazing game changer that also supports the InfoWar. We have produced a limited run of DNA Force, and it will take up to 12 weeks to produce more once we sell out. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. DNA Force. The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. For a limited time, get 25% off on this introduction. Offer. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. AncientDefense.com.
There is a national and international agenda to remove our informed consent. We can see this in Australia. This report today, having preschoolers have to have vaccines, no jab, no play. In other words, you can't get childcare or kindergarten unless you get a forced vaccine. Now, how does this look in America? Well, yet another place, Rhode Island. And here's Dan Bedondi with a report on forced vaccinations to close out our show.
Dan Bedondi, Infowars.com here in Providence, Rhode Island at the Rhode Island Department of Health. And in about an hour from now, they're going to have an open public meeting where the public gets a question and ask the experts on a new mandated law that 7th graders have to have a HPV vaccine prior to entering school this year. Now, we have two senators here in Rhode Island, Josh Miller and Gail Golden, trying to push through a Senate bill, 0381, relating to education immunizations, that annuls religious exemption. So we're going to try to run it to Josh Miller or Gail Golden, and we're also going to ask the public their thoughts on this new mandated law.
Dr. Nicole Alexander Scott, the director of the Rhode Island Department of Health. We are going to be engaging in a dialogue tonight about HPV and HPV vaccines.
Over a dozen concerned parents showed up to voice out against the HPV vaccine mandate. They had a lot to say, and contrary to what the Rhode Island Department of Health was reporting.
You mentioned earlier that there are no reported cases of major adverse events from this immunization. My two older sons received it without event. You also mentioned that any report gets thoroughly investigated. Is that correct?
Yes.
How does it get investigated?
Vaccine adverse events reporting system.
If an adverse event were to be reported through that system, that would get investigated.
Yeah.
Okay. My stepson, 10 months ago, had the HPV immunization, and a week later went blind in his left eye. We became concerned, took him to the emergency room where he had a CAT scan of his brain that was normal. His vision still has not fully returned. We reported it through that adverse event. We're waiting for the investigation to happen. I would describe that as a relatively major event. So I'm offended that I was insulted by them, and I'm disturbed that the reporting doesn't lead to an instant investigation and that you can present it tonight as having zero adverse effects. Loss of vision counts. So I also, one more thing, and then I'll sit down and shut up. False comfort concerns me. This immunization does not, doctor, prevent cancer. Can we agree that the word prevention in your Department of Health marketing is an overstatement?
People are gathering on both sides of this. And I guess that's where my question comes in, is why, if the CDC is not making this a required vaccine, which to me says they don't have enough evidence to make it a required vaccine, why is Rhode Island taking the stance of using all of the recommended and making them required? And I would just love to hear the rationale behind that from your perspective.
CDC only recommends. They do not require vaccines to use the exemption if they don't know about it.
You're going on and on about this and that, and it sounds very reassuring, but it sounds like, to me, bland reassurance. I think it takes a lot of courage to come up here and tell people that this vaccine is safe and effective when the research isn't there to support it. I think it's very nice to say you can get an exemption when many of these poor people may not be aware of it, and they may not really know the safety issues and the efficacy issues, and they're going to trust the Department of Health and their mandate. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of speaking out of both sides of your mouth here. Is it safe? Is it effective? And if so, why are you not presenting us with the data? And the reason is that the data doesn't exist.
The religious exemption has been in Rhode Island for a while, but I've heard from a lot of parents where a lot of the school nurses bully parents when they want to get a religious exemption. I know one parent who was told, okay, I need a letter from your pastor, I need this notarized, I need this, or by your,
They single the children out too.
Yes.
So I think that there's a lot of miscommunication between the Department of Health and the school that's requiring this, and it's very confusing for parents, and it makes our trust drop.
If you have a child who's at school who has a religious exemption and their eyes happen to be red, they're sent home because they are unvaccinated. They may be spreading something much more serious than not getting enough sleep the night before. There's lots of bullying. There's lots of parents out there who, when you say that exemptions are available, readily available, whoever wants them, that is completely untrue. Even as parents of children who are clearly and undeniably vaccine injured, people have to quit their jobs and take care of their children to prove that they qualify for one of these exemptions, and it's not an easy process.
And to add to what you're saying, you want to take a religious exemption in a public building where, other than the Pledge of Allegiance, if I use the word God, I'm shown the door. So how are you going to be, how is a 7-year-old, 11-year-old bold enough to say,
like you
I'm
said,
religious?
A religious exemption? Why can't it just be a choice exemption? Why do I have to say it's religion. Based on religion, other than it's based on me informing myself, and I simply disagree with the information that you put out?
I spoke to Senator Miller earlier this week. We are the ones at the Department of Health who make the ultimate determination about whether or not religious exemption should or shouldn't be there. And with this process, and even in our own decision-making, we had chosen to hold off on that because we knew that parents wanted to have that available.
I read a quote by Senator Josh Miller actually today in a newspaper disparaging parents for having used religious exemption, as he put it, inappropriately. However, I feel like we're being ordered into it, and I think that there needs to be another option. I am not religious.
Right.
Why should I have to use a religious exemption when I don't want to give something to my child, but I have researched thoroughly and do not feel comfortable giving to her?
Right.
Even though Senators Miller and Golden were nowhere to be found, I had a chance to speak with some of the parents who were very upset about the Department of Health undermining their parental rights.
They say that the vaccine is effective, but the studies actually show is that there is a 0.58% reduction in cervical preneoplastic changes. There's no evidence that it has prevented even one case of cervical cancer. Yet the Department of Health is putting forth to the community that this vaccine is safe and it does prevent cervical cancer. There's no research evidence to support that. And when you ask them about this, they just say the research says. They never produce a single paper.
And as a parent, what are your thoughts right now that knowing this is mandatory? And isn't that a contradiction? They said it's a choice, but it's mandatory. I mean, what are your thoughts?
I'm extremely concerned about it because it shouldn't be mandatory. It feels like a gross overstep of governmental role for me.
My thoughts as a parent is that I believe we're seeing one side of the picture or one side of the equation. We're being told it's a mandate. We're being told that it prevents cancer, which there's no clinical research to show that it does. And then we're not being told that we have a choice and that we have the capability of seeking a religious exemption.
But how do you suggest that we have a choice in this matter to vaccinate our children or not with something that has, you know, $30 million has been rewarded in lawsuits across the country for people who are suffering damages from this highly dangerous array of ingredients that are being pumped into our children's veins.
Do you feel that the HPV vaccine is safe enough for them to mandate it?
I don't think they even have the right to mandate any vaccine. Even if there were no injuries from this vaccine, it's none of their business to be mandating this for a disease that can't be spread within school. I mean, I guess I understand their intentions are okay, but I think that they're out of line with this.
Now, as a parent, doesn't it undermine your ability to choose and pick what's best for your children?
Right, and that's why I'm here, because I think that for this vaccine, since it can't be transmitted within a school, I think it's up to me and my pediatrician to decide if we're going to administer it or not.
You know, just want to get you a quick comment on this. Now, according to naturalnews.com, that one of the lead Gardasil developers, he clearly stated, to clear his conscience, he admitted that the vaccines, the HPV, it's useless and deadly. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that the evidence isn't in. I don't know if it is going to be useless. It may have some positive effect, but we don't know how much of a positive effect, and we haven't established a risk-benefit ratio. In every medical intervention, you have to look at what the risks are and what the benefits are. They haven't done those studies.
And as usual, officials, the so-called experts, had no direct answer but used circular reasoning for the public's questions. But however, we had religious exemption attacked in California, as two senators here in Rhode Island already tried to do. So folks, we're in trouble unless the parents in Rhode Island stand up and say no to mandatory vaccines. And how direct is the Rhode Island Department of Health right here when they got the former director chasing a pilgrim with a syringe? Folks, that's the agenda right there, folks. That's exactly what they're trying to do. Force inoculate the entire population for population control. Dan Bedondi, Infowars.com.
Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused. less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for.
And that's the principle of InfoWars life, as far as I understand, that you've always had, is that it's not about synthetic chemicals and forcing actions. It's about letting your body do its own thing and giving your body the tools it needs to create these different compounds that are super valuable and super beneficial.
You will find Brain Force and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.